My dear respected friends, please can you think for a little while that a person, if we take a person, what is his status and condition in front of Allah? Allah is Malikul Mulk, the Khaliq, the creator of the universe, the owner of the universe. فَاتَرُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ الْحَيُّ الْقَيُّومِ. All praises are due to him. And one man who is reliant on things in the world, who's made out of dust and clay, has he got any status? Has he got any power? Anything that can compare in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And if we think like this, about this, that Allah, the creator, the owner, the master, the control of the universe, and we, the creation of Allah. And Allah Ta'ala then on top of that, not just does He mention us or mention the human being, but Allah Ta'ala is proud of the human being, personally, specifically, by name. Maybe me, yourself, or some woman, some sister. And Allah Ta'ala is proud of that person. Then imagine the, you can say, good fortune on that person's name and on that person's head. Put all of what is contained in the world to one side and then put Allah Ta'ala's being happy and proud of an individual to one side. Can anything weigh and measure this success and this status? Is there anything? How can it be possible that a person doesn't appreciate this fact? If we look inside ourselves, that we are in a position maybe where Allah Ta'ala is proud of us, happy with us, and this is on esteem. Why does this occur? Why does this occur? Why does Allah Ta'ala start to like that person, that man? What is that quality that person has that Allah Ta'ala likes about the person? Allah is proud of that person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala knows about that person, Allah is aware about that person, what he is doing, what she's doing. Subhanallah, Mullah Ali Qali rahimahullah has written about this fact, a beautiful point, it's something to hear about. وَفَقْرِيَ, that the sentences that Allah Ta'ala فَقْرِيَ, that Allah Ta'ala being proud of somebody, Allah Ta'ala being happy about somebody, and this is something to hear about, very something to pay attention to. So what does Allah Ta'ala say about being proud about the human being that He has created? And this is what He's written about. He states that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with these words is proud about the human being. That in the heavens, in front of the great angels, Allah says that this human being, this man, this woman, do you know, Allah Ta'ala says, do you know I created these people, or this person, or these persons? And I have released the nafs, the base desires with this person. And that enemy of the desires is enough to overcome this human being, that there's no other enmity needed after that, because the person will fail. Me and you, do you know? Do you know? That we have the great force of the desires against us. And Allah Ta'ala says, I've released the nafs against this person, to oppose this person. Then Allah Ta'ala says, on top of that, I have released shaitans. As soon as he is born, shaitan is born with that person. The shaitan lives in parallel, at the same time. And how a person is cornered, and is forced towards maybe having a difficult time. We say that, oh, the angel said, Allah, why is it you've created this human being? Allah Ta'ala said, I didn't just create this human being. I sent him to the earth. I sent him to such a place which is difficult. And on top of that, I put them in such an environment where nafs is there, desires are there, shaitan are released and are free to inflict harm on these people. And on top of this, another point Allah Ta'ala says, that shifat, Allah says, that, you know, shahwat, desires, the base desires that are within us, that permissible, not permissible, shahwat, lust, are these things not within us? Is there any human being who doesn't have this? We have nafs, we have shaitan, we have our desires, base desires that are attached to us. And every moment a person has desires within. Tell me that from one to second to the third to the fourth, what can we be safe from? And Allah says, not just this, but there's another thing I've done beyond this, is that the necessities of the world are running after us as well. The attractions of the world are running after us as well. Allah says, I've not left anything that is, you can say, of a negative nature that does not chase that individual. Allah says, I'm proud of these people. On top of this, nafs is there. He has nafs inside. Shaitan has encircled him or her. Shaitan has shackled and created influence for this person. He has shahwat and lust, the machine of lust. Sleep now, wake up now, do this action, do this sin, etc. Always the machine of lust and desire and sin is within the person, around that person. He's in prison. And then the needs of the world, they are not going to end, they are not going to cease, they are never going to cease or stop. So it's stated that when this person is faced with all of these opposition forces, the desires and shaitan, when a person breaks all these forces, Allah says, and then he's busy in my remembrance, then I am proud of that person or these people. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Great, great example. That's when I start to be proud of this creation, Allah says. Allah says, tell me, Zayd, Bakr, 9, 10 p.m., 11 p.m., tired, exhausted, I've driven a taxi all day long, old, frail, without much energy. That they have left home since early morning and they've done ibadah as well during the day. But what is it that has caused them to sit down? They've left everything in the dunya. One thing, as I said, is enough to destroy us, the nafs, the desires. But when we put the nafs aside and the shaitan aside, and then that person starts to remember Allah, Allah says, why shouldn't I be proud of this person? Such a great reward Allah Ta'ala has given. As Abu Zar Ghafari radiyallahu anhu narrated a hadith, what is the maqam, how high is the maqam of this person? When he does such an amal, he puts all of the dunyawi attraction aside, and وَلَكَ ذِكْرَ فِي السَّمَاءِ وَلَكَ نُورٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Allahu Akbar. That this individual, the human being, who is made out of clay, who is living amongst the environment of impurity, who is surrounded by nafs and shaitan, when he defeats all of this evil and is busy in Allah Ta'ala's dhikr, then this individual is not a minor. Rather, in the heavens he is mentioned, and in the earth his nur, the nur of the dhikr, spreads. This is a hadith. Allah's Nabi has stated this, and Abu Dhar Ghafari narrated this hadith. So brothers, this is an ajeeb scenario and a great sign that a person cannot come himself. There are many things that restrict us, prevent us. Allah Ta'ala's fadl, Allah's blessings and mercies that allow us to gather and to remember Him. One very valuable point amongst all of this: the life is just for a few days. Maut will come, qabr will come after illness, without the illness, with the old age and the young age. And wasariul hisab, we need to go quickly and give hisab to our Rabb. And this is our life story. Remember this. Remember this. This is our life story. Now, one thing, a point that we realize from this hadith that the pious predecessors have stated, that waqabirin adawbad, alhamdulillah, say alhamdulillah, have taught us. And they did a lot of effort, made a lot of effort on this, and they shed some light on this subject. And this is the name, this is the definition of sunnah. The Awa Qabireen, who did the work of the deen, our mashayikh, our pious predecessors, that the words we're hearing today, that have reached us today, this is not some minor fact. It's their hard work, the result of their hard work. So when an individual does an amal, a good amal, salah, or anything, tilawat of Quran, or dhikr, or tabligh, or going on tabligh, or whichever good deed, when a person is doing that, he wants to do tasbihat, etc., then there's four things that will come in opposition to us. Do you understand? There'll be obstacles in our way to do good. So we, at that time, when we cannot do, when this action is there, that we are able to do the action, time is that we can do the action, but we don't do it, then we need to see that what is preventing us. Is it nafs that's preventing us? Is it shaitan that's preventing us? Is there need of the world that's preventing us? Is there desire that is we're not able to fulfill? Then straight away to tajziya. And when these four things come in front of us, then we have to shun those four things, reject them, and do the amal, that action. And then alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, all the deeds we'll do from Fajr until Isha. And with this niyyah, we will continue to practice, and we will reflect on ourselves and analyze our deeds, and on every amal, every deed, Allah will give this reward. Allah will be proud of that individual. No deed of ours will go to waste, my friends. And today, in this day and age, we are living such an age that we have to understand that we have been locked. We are in a cage, for example, nafs, desires, khwaishat, and desires, etc. Just one thing we need to do, that when a prevention comes, a restriction comes, you're not coming to salah in the morning, think, why am I not going? Look at the things that are preventing us. And we have to reject the opposition, the nafs and shaitan, and the you could say negative environment, and we shun this, and we start to do that good deed, then such a great reward that Allah Ta'ala will be pleased and proud of that person. With the fadl of Allah, inshallah, on every deed, on every amal, Allah will give this reward, Allah will give us the tools to break down the obstacles. If we practice the good deeds, then it's impossible that we will leave any good deed. The more strength and courage and determination we'll have, the more we'll be able to practice. I'm ready, I'm sitting, oh, I can do this action, I'll do this. We'll see afterwards if I don't do it. That I'm not going to listen to my nafs, I'm not going to listen to shaitan. Allah says that if you break down these four barriers, then I'll give you the reward. Either I listen to shayateen and I waste this opportunity, there's such a great reward I'm about to get. The Allah Ta'ala has given me such a great opportunity, and life is just for a few days. Allah has given me an opportunity, a great opportunity. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And if I avail this opportunity, then what a great reward I'll get. Allah Ta'ala will be proud of me. My dhikr will be done in the heavens. And nur will spread on the earth. So only a foolish person who will leave all these rewards and will say, no, I'm not going to do this action. Remember this other point, that Allah is Kareem and He does Fadl and His Karam. That nafs, due to nafs, the desires, nafs is saying that leave this action, don't do this. Oh, and nafs says, if you leave this action, I'll give you ease. And shaitan says, if you do this action, then the other things in the world will cease, and then you won't be close to what you want to achieve. So nafs and shaitan, they work in opposite different ways, but they take a person away from his Rabb or her Rabb. And khwaishat, the lust, the passion within us, the desire of lust that tries to give us enjoyment. No, enjoy yourself. You don't need to do this action. You don't need to do ibadah. You don't need to worship. We'll do this some other time. So the lust and nafsiyati desires overcome a person. You say, no, I don't need to do this. Sharia doesn't say I have to do this. It's not necessary. Sharia, it's not controlling me or you. One is that Sharia saying you have to do this, you're ill, or there's some other reason, or the house, mamala, etc. Sharia stops us. But here's another situation. So, not Sharia restrictions, but then we say, oh, the dunya, somebody will be unhappy, I'll make this person pleased, or what will the people say, etc. And these are forces that also come and oppose us in our mind, take us away from the deen, restrictions. So when a person breaks down all of these things, then remember the pious predecessors have said that Allah is so kareem, that those things that you have rejected, alhamdulillah, that the desires of the nafs that you have left, Allah will fulfill your needs. Allah will give you more over and above that, and the needs of the world that you've left at that time, Allah will give you this as well at the same time. And the desire of the nafs due to which you wanted to break down the actions that you should be doing, Allah Ta'ala says, I will fulfill all of the things, the gap, the things that you cannot do, that you want to do. Allah says, I will fulfill your needs. But you will have passed the test at the time of need. So why did Allah Ta'ala then give us nafs? Why did Allah send shaitan after us? Why are there the needs of the world and the khwaishat of the world and the nafs? Allah says that I could have not created these things. But Allah says, I want to see that how much do you implement my hukum, my orders. That's it. We have the full strength. No shaitan can dare to stop us from salah through waswasa. No nafs can have the energy to stop a mu'min from salah. No desire and lust and passion and interest of the world, attraction, can stop us from remembering Allah. Allah says, I've given you such a great strength, and that is the ability, the willpower. And where do we get this from? Willpower. Where do we get the strength of will? Allah says that Allah Ta'ala's choice has given us the ability to implement willpower. When a person implements his will, power, and his ability to choose, then he breaks down and rejects the four opposition forces. We don't implement this though. For example, if the government gives you the freedom that you can go and grab hold of these people or arrest these people, if somebody's doing wrong, you can grab that person. We say, no, I don't need to use the power that's been given to me. Then what will happen? That the stealing and theft will increase, and criminality and crimes will increase, because we're not exercising our powers. So Allah has given us power. Allah has given us the will and the ability to implement. And if we do this correctly, then nafs won't be able to overtake us, shaitan won't be able to overtake us, and no evil sinful forces will be able to overtake us in terms of our controlling actions. Allah says that you will think right, do right, and I will be proud of you. So that's it. We know this. We need to request that Allah Ta'ala gives this to us, that a person, the maqsad of life, the objective of life is to pay attention, to understand the words of the pious predecessors, so that we can do amal. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq, that the discussion we've had today, that we can do amal on this. And whenever there's a restriction on us, just like Allah Ta'ala sent us today, Allah's great karam, blessing, and we have rejected everything, and with courage and determination, and we have come to remember Allah. Otherwise, that we could be lazy and negligent. Allah has given us the willpower, the freedom and the power, and we've utilized that, and we've come here to remember Allah. Allah Ta'ala says that I've given you the ability to do good, and you need to utilize this. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen.